Hi, everybody. My name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everybody. Hope you're having a nice day. We're back again with part two of my chat with Liz. In this episode, you'll hear us use quite a few different expressions that come from baseball and are regularly used in spoken American English. We'll, of course, just as in part one, share our personal experiences with you to illustrate how we use these expressions in our everyday lives. As I mentioned in the first part of this chat, episode number 61, baseball is considered America's favorite pastime. And oddly, the sport's vocabulary has had a profound impact on the English spoken in the United States. I guarantee that by listening to this episode or to part one of our chat, that you will quickly realize how often these terms are used in conversation. If you don't believe me, just watch some TV. I guarantee you'll hear some of them. If this episode or the last one sparked your interest in American English slang, be sure to check out the episode webpage. I'll post a link there to the American English Slang Book, which is free for all listeners. If you'd like to get the transcripts, as well as bonus material, including quizzes and exercises for each episode, be sure to visit the classroom at AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Without any further ado, here is the last set of our baseball-related expressions in conversation.
So the first expression is bring your A game. So that means to come prepared to do your best. As you may know from watching American television, getting an A is the best grade you can get in school on an exam. So when you say bring your A game, you're saying, you know, bring your best possible self. Be prepared. I don't necessarily use this phrase a lot, but I definitely hear it said by other people. Usually it's men or people who have more of a masculine language, I guess. I hear my dad say it, my brother-in-law, just more masculine, I guess. Examples where I could see it being said is maybe your partner tells you, hey, you've got an interview tomorrow, bring your A game, be prepared. The opposite of it is like, don't half-ass something.
Exactly. A lot of people might hear this expression in American movies, especially movies that have some sports in them, because a lot of times coaches tell, you know, the players, bring your A game. Today we're playing our biggest rival, bring your best. Or maybe teachers also before a test. Bring your A game tomorrow. You need to perform well on this test because it's going to be for your final grade. But the masculine part of it that you mentioned, it's so true. It does seem like something that a male figure would say, whereas I definitely would steer away from this expression. And so as a listener to this podcast episode, you can kind of decide, you know, do you want to use this expression or not? Up to you. You definitely will understand it now, though, if you hear it in a movie or so.
The next expression we thought of that I definitely use, I know you use it, and I think I hear it a lot as well, is to be in a pickle. So you may know a pickle is a pickled cucumber.
Yeah, it's funny because I think a lot of people don't know the meaning of pickled, right? To pickle something means to preserve it. In a jar, usually. So sometimes you have pickled pickles, right? But you also have pickled other things like shallots or what other things are pickled?
Onions, carrots, cauliflower, peppers.
This is when you can leave it on your shelf for a really long time because it's been preserved.
In vinegar.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in baseball, to be in a pickle is when you get stuck between two bases. And somebody has the ball on either end. So you're running between the two. If you run to one, you'll get tagged out, but they can still throw the ball and tag you out on the other end. So you have no choice. You're just stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
It's hard to visualize if you've never seen a baseball game or have limited knowledge of the sport, but to be in a pickle is to be in a situation in which you feel stuck and unable to make a decision. Have you ever found yourself in a pickle?
Definitely. Every day, actually, of my life, simply stated, I have a hard time choosing what to eat. And for breakfast, a lot of times, I think, should I have waffles for breakfast? Which I don't end up having very often. Or should I have, you know, granola with fresh fruit? And so I'm stuck in a pickle, or I'm in a pickle because I can't decide which option I should choose. But on a more like serious note, I think actually deciding between moving to the United States when Lucas and I were deciding which country to move to, or moving to Brazil. And so I actually made a PowerPoint with pros and cons because we were both in a pickle. We couldn't decide. And that actually really helped us.
Nice.
Yeah. And what about you?
So I was in a pickle recently. When we were still living in Florida, I was unemployed and I had a job interview and I ended up getting a job offer. But at the same time, John, my boyfriend, he got a job offer for Los Angeles to start in 2 months. So I felt like I was in a pickle. Do I take this new job? I don't currently have one,
right?
But I'm going to have to leave them. Or do I just tell them no, so I don't waste their time? I ended up turning down the job offer and we moved quicker than we thought we would. So it all worked out, but I felt like I was in quite the pickle.
Yeah. Sounds like one. Then you took one for the team, right?
I did take one for the team.
Yeah. You did something for the benefit of the relationship, which is admirable.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
What's our next word here, Shauna?
We have out in left field. In the outfield, there are a lot of outfielders, people who stand out in the lawn and they wait for the ball to come. So they try and catch it to make the batter get out. And so out in left field as an expression means unexpected, odd, or strange. And the first thing that actually comes to mind is when comments are inappropriate.
You
know, you don't really want them. It's at an odd moment.
Oh, yeah. And I think it can be used not just as like, you know, this comment or this question came at you and you've out of nowhere, out of left field, but you can also describe a person as being out in left field. That's sort of like weird or kooky, or
he's out in left field. Oh, yeah, that could work. Liz, can you think of a way you would use this, or a moment where you thought, oh, that comment was out in left field?
So I tell this story sometimes because it was just so crazy to me. It was my 18th birthday, and literally my mom had just put down the cake in front of me, and they're starting to light the candles, and out of nowhere, and this is in front of like my whole family, my mom goes, Liz, have you ever kissed a boy before? I was like, whoa, that came out of left field. Like, why are we doing this now? What is this question?
Like,
can we start happy birthday soon?
That is unexpected, odd, strange. It was out of left field, or out in left field. Yikes. Oh, so how did you respond?
I don't even know. I think I'm still in shock and traumatized from the experience that I don't remember. I think I said yes. Can you think of a time when something came out of left field?
Yeah, well, it's funny. I actually am now thinking of an expression I shared on a previous podcast about people with foot in mouth disease. And it seems like a lot of the comments of people who have foot and mouth disease, so an inability to control their flow of speech, they make a lot of comments that are out in left field or out of left field. And I mentioned my dad, I think, in that episode. My dad's the nicest guy in the world, but occasionally he says things that kind of confuse people, or a little bit unexpected or odd or strange, that are out of left field. When Lucas was actually visiting the United States for one of the first times, he was very nervous to meet my dad. And my dad sat down at the table. We had a nice dinner. And then as my mom and I were kind of cleaning up the dishes afterwards, He asked Lucas if Brazilian women really did have big butts.
Oh, no.
And Lucas, in that moment, was thinking, is he testing me? I mean, does he want to know if, you know, I don't know. He just didn't really know what to think. He didn't know how to respond. The comment was out of left field. And I think he just kind of laughed and, you know, was like, haha, you know, interesting. They do. Yeah. Maybe.
Oh,
he didn't really know how to respond. Anyway.
Well, both Lucas and your dad are two of the nicest people. So I can just only imagine how uncomfortable that situation was.
Yeah.
Oh, I think a good way to describe out in left field. So in Major League Baseball and in Little League, softball, anything, coaches tend to put the players that are their least athletic in the left field position.
I was.
See? So if you're looking from home plate over the pitcher, to your left is the left field. It's the hardest place to hit a ball because you usually have to pull it all the way over there. So that's why you put your least athletic player there, because they get the least amount of balls. Yeah. And there's actually a famous Boston Red Sox player called Manny Ramirez. And there's a whole ESPN video, you could probably find it on YouTube, called Manny Being Manny. And it's just like him sitting down in left field. There's like a bathroom out in the Red Sox left field that he like goes to during the middle of a game. He's just Manny Being Manny out in left field. The videos of it are like really funny. It's just the least sportsman-like player you can imagine.
But actually still on the Major League Baseball team. So still making the big bucks. Yeah, that's funny. So let's move on to the next one, to throw someone a curveball.
So to say to throw someone a curveball is to be presented with a challenge. But it can also just be like a surprising thing.
So what is a curveball?
A curveball is a type of pitch a pitcher throws that literally curves. So the way that the pitchers have the ball come out of their fingers, it curves away from a batter so that when they go to swing at what they think is a pitch coming at them, the ball moves and the batter misses. So it's just an unanticipated event.
It's definitely a challenge, right? So it's exactly the same as the definition of the expression.
So when my boyfriend and I keep saying boyfriend throughout this whole thing, we've been together for 7.5 years.
His name's John.
His name is John. And, you know, I'm not just moving all over the country for, you know, somebody I met last week. So when we were first establishing our careers and looking for jobs when we were getting out of law school, he got a job opportunity in Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah.
I remember. So I had to call my parents and tell them, hey, we might be moving to Hong Kong, which is not a place I had ever mentioned. I don't think my parents and I have ever even discussed Hong Kong. So they felt like I really threw them a curveball. This whole potential was just so out of left field. It was a total curveball, blew their minds. Obviously didn't end up happening, but it was, definitely a surprise. What about you?
Well, I think the coronavirus has thrown a curveball to a lot of people. Actually, specifically, I think a lot about the artists, the musicians in Brazil, just because it's a conversation that I have often now with Lucas. He has one specific friend who was just getting started with his music career. He was actually getting pretty successful. But he had a bunch of shows planned in different theaters and different venues in Brazil, had a ton of tickets sold, and the coronavirus made it impossible to have shows. So he's got all these tickets sold, and now he has to figure out what to do with those ticket sales. And also, you know, how is he going to continue his hot streak, like this great period of success, he's on a roll, with this coronavirus still present in everyday life. Yeah. The coronavirus threw him a curveball, and now he's having to figure out how to deal with this challenge.
So what is our next phrase we thought of?
On deck. On deck is actually part of baseball. When you are on deck, you are the next batter in line to bat. You're up to bat. Yeah.
If you've seen a baseball game, the person who's in the little circle off to the side, kind of close to the dugout, who's just swinging, stretching, getting warmed up, ready to bat. So they're on deck, in the on deck position, getting ready to perform next, mm-hmm. which is literally what the phrase is used for in everyday life too, right?
Exactly. I think you probably have used this in your job. I mean, having to deal with judges.
Yeah. So when I worked for a judge, we'd have 10 cases or more scheduled for a day. And as people were getting there and getting ready, I would have to communicate with different people when they came in and say, okay, you're on deck, you're coming up next, you know, get ready. And just let people know, hey, we're finishing up with the current case, you're on deck.
You're next in line, usually to present or perform something. What is the next one that we have?
The next one is a phrase I think we've all used, out of one's league or out of your league. So to say that something is out of your league is to say that it's too good for you or it's just not at your skill level. And I think it can be used in both like romantic and work related situations. What comes to mind for you, Shauna?
First thing that comes to mind is when I was living in New York City, when I first moved there, I was working as an au pair. So kind of like a live-in babysitter for a nanny, per se, for a family that was very involved in politics. I remember there were certain times where I was sitting at the dinner table with diplomats, and they would ask me my opinion about certain policies that President Obama, who was president at the time, was making. And I did not feel up to their level. I felt like the conversation and the people around me were out of my league. They were a little bit more intelligent regarding politics, and I felt a little bit insecure in a way, like I didn't quite belong there.
Yeah. And you were also quite young at the time too. So
that definitely had something to do with it. I think I was 22 years old, maybe even younger. I don't know. Have you ever felt like you were out of your league? Or can you think of another situation where, you know, someone was out of someone's league?
Yeah. So just moved to Los Angeles. I'm still applying for jobs. And there are some jobs available at these major multinational law firms. And while you want to think of yourself as the greatest person ever, I know that they only want somebody who graduated top of their class from Harvard or Yale and has worked for 10 years at other major law firms. So I know that these jobs are out of my league and probably not worth my time applying to because I'm not that person. And I'm aware of that. When you think of out of one's league in the romantic setting, I think everybody's had this observation on occasion when you're in pre-corona times, when you'd be out and about and maybe out to dinner with some friends and you'd see an average looking guy out on a date with a really hot girl. And you say to your friends, like, she is out of his league. Like, she is far too good looking for this man.
Yeah, so it could be definitely with looks or even, once again, you mentioned skill level in the beginning or intelligence, and that also could play a role in that. Perhaps she's a lawyer, and it sounds really rude to say this because I personally don't think this matters at all, but maybe the significant other cleans bathrooms at McDonald's, you know, and you might say, yeah. Wow, she's out of his league. Like, it's interesting that they're together. It doesn't seem like a match exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to each his own, of course. What's our last expression?
We have on the ball. So that's to be quick, competent, active, sharp mentally usually. So someone who is on the ball is somebody who's organized, who shows up on time, who always knows what you're talking about, and they're just on it. You may hear that like shortened, they're on it, they're on the ball, just quick. So when I think of being on the ball, I mentioned the move we just did, and this pandemic was starting. everything was starting to go crazy. We had to actually drive both of our cars across country. So we had to be really on the ball with our planning, with the logistics, where we were going to stay every night, the hotels, how far we could drive, which states were open and which weren't, and if we had to drive around them. Like Louisiana was a huge outbreak and we would have driven through there. So we had to be quick. We had to be on the ball, make changes, mm-hmm. and be as organized as we could. And I feel like we achieved our goals.
It sounds like something that would require a lot of planning at this point in time, yeah. and being prepared. But it's amazing that you actually did it during the coronavirus. That is not something that everyone does. Definitely no. not. Speaking of being prepared, actually, before this talk, I mentioned, oh, you know, maybe we could talk about living in D.C. I mean, you lived in Washington, D.C. for a good chunk of time. How many years were you there for?
6 years.
And I mean, I know that you know it very well because you were always out and about. But the thing is, I went there once and you were nice enough to give me a great tour of the city. And I mean, we got to know the museums and the mall being the area with all the government buildings, not the shopping mall.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt like I got to know it pretty well, but I still don't feel like I would be a good conversation partner if we talked about DC. I don't feel like I would be on the ball. I wouldn't be responding quickly and competently or in a witty way because I'm not as prepared as, of course, you are, having lived there for quite some time. So that's why we will talk about that possibly in a future episode or maybe another city that you've lived in.
Yeah, they're getting to be many.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is it for this episode. Liz, thank you so much for coming on to the show again. I really was so happy to have you here. You always have great examples. You're always on the ball. It always seems like you can come up with some great, great responses on the spot.
Thank you. I feel like I come out of left field with a lot of these, but hopefully everybody enjoys, and I'd love to be here and chat with you anytime. Hopefully sometime soon we can record again in the same place and give each other a big hug.
There are definitely some other expressions I didn't mention that were in previous episodes. For example, hit or miss was an expression that I went through in episode number 47, which was somewhat related to baseball. And also take a rain check. I actually spoke about that in episode number 18 and gave the origin of that expression, which is also related to baseball. Hope you're staying safe, enjoying your learning, and talk soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the American English Podcast. Remember, it's my goal here to not only help you improve your listening comprehension, but to show you how to speak like someone from the States. If you want to receive the full transcript for this episode, or you just want to support this podcast, make sure to sign up to premium content on AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Thanks, and hope to see you soon.